You know, as I've been journeying through this topic about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, when I started off with the question, you know, who is Jesus to you? Because what I was thinking, and you know, even just as the world is going on, I think, you know, do we still stand in awe at the mention of his name? Are we still awestruck when I think about Jesus? Or has Jesus just become sort of, you know, part of my life? And I've sort of really lost sight of the beauty and the love and the majesty of who he is. And that the name of Jesus sort of just become ordinary. And even as I was just preparing this week, I think to speak about Jesus, the life. You know, we're speaking about him being the way, the truth. And to speak about him, the life, I think the biggest challenge for me is to how do you speak about the infinite side of God and what that means? How do you package that in just three sermons? How do you fully explore that? How do I calculate the impact of who Jesus is in my life just by three sermons? And I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how, you know, even this sermon does justice to who Jesus is and the effect of him on my life. And then as I was just thinking about Jesus, the life, I obviously cannot help to think about who I was, who I used to be. You know, I grew up in a Christian home and we went to church and, you know, that was how life is. And, you know, you go to school and you do your stuff, but I remember that day that I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, you know, and I remember I was dating a girl, and I'm sure that she was just in my life for her mom to ask me the question, so what will happen if you die? And I said, I think I'll go to heaven. She went, that's awesome, but why will he let you into heaven? And I went, I don't know. And I remember praying that prayer that night and receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And a life journey started there. I remember going home, and where my parents used to drag us to church, I was excited for the first time in my life to go to church. And I don't know why, but obviously I understand it a lot more now, but that life that just came. And as I reflected on Jesus, the life, I have to recognize what he has done in my life. I have to recognize that they, you know, I was alive, but I was not, there was not life. I was going through the motions. I was doing this thing we call life without actually having life. And if I have to look at who I am now and what has happened in my life, and I look at how I lived before that, then there's a complete, the focus shift, the things that were important there just kind of fell away. And now there's this incredible passion and life-giving force, if I may call it that, who is Jesus in my life, who has transformed me. And then after having been saved now for 30 years, I'm still not finished exploring who he is and what he's going to do and experiencing the life that he wants to bring in my life and through my life. So this thing we call life, I know we all deem it as precious. Nah? You like to be alive, right? If you're not, we can sort that out for you. If you don't want to be alive, I can phone some people. No, I'm joking. No friends, some mafia guys. But we all like to be alive. One thing that we do is we protect our life. We don't take unnecessary risk. Okay, some of us at least. There's some of these people that jump off stuff and do crazy things that like that risky side of life. But even in that, their life to them is precious. They don't just want to give it away. And when you look at the human body, You have to stand in awe on how God has actually just put this body together. how he's knitted us, how he's formed us, how he's, you know, the veins and the stuff. I know Vera's going for operation this week, and there's a nerve that's wrong, and they're going to fix that. And I'm going, it's amazing how God has put together this body, how he's formed us, how he's made us with so much detail. And one of the things that is placed in us is this thing we call blood. Now, if I drain your blood, you are dead. It is there for a very purpose. And when I had a quick look at blood, and I'm not going to say that I understand this whole thing, but I just had a sort of a quick read up on the significance of blood and what it is all about and how it works. And I remember some of the stuff that I did in school, only a little, but it's a long time ago. But I actually just stood in awe again about the power of blood and what it does and so on in our bodies and how God created something so simple that brings life within our bodies. That without it, we cannot live. And if we look at Scripture, then we see the significance of blood there. How many times it is being used. And I just want to refer to one scripture, which is Leviticus 17 verse 10. And I'll stand a bit this way so that you can see it. It says, the Israelites or foreigners, if Israelites or foreigners eat any blood, I will condemn them and exclude them from the people. It's quite a harsh word that God is giving here. And then he says, why? He says, because blood contains life. Blood contains life. I've given this blood to you to make peace with me on the altar. Blood is needed to make peace with me. And it's interesting here for me, you know, in looking at blood and thinking about what Jesus did and the fact that he offered his life and that he shed his blood for you and me, how significant this blood is. That the fact that Christ, when he shed his blood, was actually shedding his very life, the life-giving thing for you and me, so that we can live. Now, you know, if you want to pray for someone, that is a powerful prayer to pray, you know, in the sense that there is life in the blood. And we can speak into that. We can speak life into that blood when we pray for people. And we know that when blood goes weird and funky, and that can actually kill you. It can become cancerous, etc. And it can clog up, etc. So you want blood to be fluid and you want it to be nice. So that why? There is life. And I think for me the same is, I want Jesus to be fluid in my life. I want him to flow through me. I want him to, that very life that he gave, I want him to bring that in my life. If he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, then that life needs to flow through my veins. Yeah. To bring life to every part of who I am. So we need to just be aware of that and not lose sight of the fact that that is what he brings to us. He brings life to you and me. Even to our flesh. In John 14 verse 6 he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And again, like I said last week, if your goal is to get to the Father, if you want to get to the Father, if you want to experience everything that the Father has in store for you, then it is through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Now, when I looked at this, I looked at the definition of life, and I want to read that to you quickly. The definition of life, according to Google, is this: the condition that distinguishes animals and plants from inorganic matter, including the capacity to grow, reproduce, functional activity, and continual change preceding death. So, this thing that we have, life, distinguishes us from inorganic matter. Right? So blood, which gives us life, distinguishes us from stuff that is not alive. So if you wondered about this, yes, congratulations, you are alive this morning. And you are alive for a purpose. And God wants to do amazing things for you. Now, if I could take a bit of artistic license here with that definition, then I think if I want to bring that back to what Jesus is saying, then he's saying, you know, then Jesus is inviting us to grow, to reproduction, to functional activity, to continual change as we grow. So when Jesus is saying that I am the life, he's not inviting us just to exist. He's not inviting us just to passively go through this life and go and die and go, yes, I made it. He's inviting us to grow, to change, to reproduce. And if you think about that, even just in the gospel, in my walk with him, then he's inviting me to engage into something that is bringing life. And I know as I've engaged Christ in my life, as I've pursued him, as I've walked with him, there was immediately growth. Why? Because there is life in him. You know, when you sit with Jesus, when you speak to him, when you read his word, when you interact with him, when you allow him to work through you, there is growth. And it's always interesting when you give an opportunity for people, maybe to you know, when you have a group and you sort of put them on the spot and you say, okay, now, you know, trust God for a word for someone. They like look at you and go like, yeah, but I don't know. That's an opportunity for growth. That's when I trust Jesus to speak through me and his life just flows through me and he reveals to me what he wants to say to this person. That is life. And that is growth. You know, and I know sometimes people look at pastors and go like, ooh, you know, you can do everything. But it's only been through exercise. It's being through being willing and available vessels for him to use. And through that, then life comes and flows. So God's desire, Jesus' desire is to let that life, who he is, just flow through each one of us in an abundant measure. This life is not stagnant. It's moving. This life that he's calling us to is not a dam. It's a river. That's why scripture says, you know, that rivers of living water will bubble up from your inner man and overflow. So if he is life, he's calling us to something that is overflowing, bubbling up. So if you don't feel that you have that, then I think maybe you should just connect with Jesus and allow him to, I don't know, unplug you. Kick down the wall that is holding that his presence in your life. You know, if you speak to Benny, he'll say, you know, but we all must go pray and we must evangelize and all these things. And that is true. But in various ways, we need to allow this life who is Jesus just to flow and to bubble up and explode. Okay, maybe not explode, but just flow and let it change the world. You know, sometimes when we speak about reaching out or, you know, going and being changed, I think we all look at ourselves immediately going, but I cannot do that. But if I understand the word correctly, then it's not about you and me. It's just about being available. And sometimes we sit on this side and we judge a situation saying that I cannot do that. And maybe if you just step out, maybe if you just go there and allow the Jesus who is life to flow through you, he will just bring life in that situation. You know, water cannot change the desert if it's not there. In order to get the desert to grow, all we need to do is take water there. The Makwaland and these places are amazing. Never rain. Well, rains very seldom there. And it looks terrible. And let one rain baiki fall on that place. What do? We drive kilometers to go watch the flowers. Why? Because suddenly there's life. And this morning, I believe God wants to stir you and me because he wants to let that life flow into places where there's been deserts and dryness for years. You know, if I think about stepping into this new venue and God placing us where he's placing us now, how many lives need the life power of what Jesus brings in their lives? And saints, it's not going to happen because we have a service. Yes, there's people that's going to come. But it's as we go, as we take that life to them, that transformation will come. Acts 2 verse 28 says the following. You make the path of life known to me. Listen to this. This is God's desire for you. Is you make the path of life known to me. In your presence there is complete joy. So, you know, it's like Jesus, when Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I'm going away, you know, you cannot come with me. It's like, where are you going? They want to know where he's going. Maybe you just should ask Jesus where he's going in your life. Because he wants to make known to you the path of life. He wants to make known to you the path of life. You know, it's not like he's withholding. It's not like he wants to obscure it from you. His desire is to show you and me how to walk in life. And if you think of what Jesus is saying, that I am the life, then it's locked up. It is contained in who he is and allowing that who Jesus is just to flow through my life into this earth. Now, I know it sounds a lot simpler, but I want to say it's with every step that I take. In obedience, every step that I go, God, I'm trusting you and I'm stepping out, I'm doing something. How that life will just bubble up. How when you sit with him in his presence, when you worship him, when you testify him, that life just starts bubbling up over and out. It's not contained in this little vessel and it's not, you know, meant to just be in you. It's meant to spill over. It's meant to be a blessing. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. There is complete joy. And I so love what the worship, you know, just this focus on the fact that he has set us free. The focus of who he is in us and the outflow of that in this world. When Jesus says he is life, he's making known to us the how to receive it. He says, I am the life. So it's no point in looking for life anywhere else. There's no point in searching it high and low. And I think if I look at some of the stuff that's happening in the world, it's so clear that people are grasping at straws trying to find life, but they'll never find life outside of Jesus Christ because he said, I am life. You want it? You have to come to me. And for us that has found him, I think we need to be careful not to, you know, take a dropper and go, I just need a little bit. Jump in who he is. You know, it's like swimming in my swimming pool. When you put your toe, it's like, ooh, die water is lekker. If it stops there, you're not having the full benefit. You have to jump in. Okay, some of us might walk slowly and torture ourselves, you know, going into the pool, but jump in, get in, do something, get into the swim, get into who Jesus is. Do not sit on the edge and go with your feet. Because that's, I think, you know, some of us has been saved for many years and all we're doing, we're sitting on the side with our feet and going like, oh, Jesus, you are so awesome. And he's going, come man, there's so much more. I've got life, just dump it, I will fill you, overflow you. You go like, no, thank you. I'm cool. What's happening to my voice? See, life is only through him. Eternal life. You see, he's not just inviting us to the short stint here on earth. He's inviting us to eternal life. I have got no clue what that's going to be like, but man, is it going to be awesome. I'm going to be in the swimming pool forever. Overflowing in his presence and everything. If the swimming pool analogy offends you, I forgive me. See, eternal life is through him. He wants to give us life here, but he wants to give us more than that. Is that not what is so awesome about who God is? That is not never just enough. Or maybe just short of enough. He's always more than enough. He's always got this plan to give life more than I can actually even think about it. And I think the catch here is sometimes that we choose not to fully engage. I choose to sort of hang back. I choose to go like, ooh, that's a bit weird. You know, maybe I shouldn't do that. I don't jump in. I don't get in. I don't even slowly walk in. And here Jesus is saying, man, I am life. Not almost life. I'm the fullness of it. I want to invite you to come and experience it. Romans 8:11 says this. Does the Spirit, now listen to this one. Oh, it's a powerful scripture. Does the Spirit of the one who brought Jesus back to life live in you? This is the question. Does the Spirit of God who brought Jesus back to life live in you? Then the one who brought Christ back to life will also make your mortal bodies alive by His Spirit who lives in you. You know, we can use our mortal bodies as excuses. You know, woe is me, I'm a sinner, and all the rest of it. But when I receive Christ, when I receive the Spirit of the one who brought Jesus back to life in me, then He comes and He makes me alive. He brings life. That rain that falls in the desert, that's exactly what He does. Well, not exactly, but that's what He does in my life. He brings life where there was deadness. And this is so cool that God is willing to deposit, to give me and you His Spirit. Who raised Christ from the dead? We're so scared of death. But if it pleases God, then He can even raise you from the dead to continue the work that He's called you to do. But we go like, oh, I don't want to engage it. You know, it's a bit rough. Maybe I shouldn't go there, whatever. But should we not engage? Should we not live? Because we've got life. You know, there's lots of opinions what happen in the world about what happens after death. And lots of people are concerned about it. But rather than being concerned about it, why don't we just live now to the fullness of who Jesus wants us to be? This life that He is giving us, this power that is available through Him to change this world. Let us just live in the fullness of that. You know, we're going into this festive season now. You know, every year, is it not the rhythm of the year? You know, we get here, we think, whew, buy it yet, care, do nothing, you know. Then we hit New Year, we go like, hee hee, New Year. We all did that in 2020. Yay! And then 2020 happens, you know, like, now everybody's like, yes, I'm not so sure about 2021. COVID, you know, the second wave, you know, what's going to happen? No, don't let these things be the things that determine how you live. Jesus is the life. He is life. Yes, let's be careful. But man, can we spread the life, the love of God? Can we lead people to the Father? Can we allow the life that is deposited in you and me to spill over so that many will find Him? Let your mortal body be full of who He is. Be full of the Spirit of God. And I know for most of us, you know, maybe you want to just unwind. Maybe you just want to just go relax. And yes, please do that. I will be doing that come tomorrow. But can we still in that be sensitive to what the life in me wants to do in this world? Can we be sensitive to let this life just overflow and say, Lord, I don't know, maybe there's someone that really needs Jesus on this holiday. I would have been in the Galagadi in June, July. Now I'm there, so I don't know. The life is going there. Let's just go let it be. Let Jesus be who He is in us. And let Him bring the life. Let Him bring the way, the truth, and the life to those so that they will get to the Father. As I was pondering on the statement of Jesus that He is the way, the truth, and life, and as I'm reflecting even on my life, I realized that this statement actually encompasses everything that I need. It is everything that I need. If I need a way, He's the way. He gives brings direction to my life. He will show me where I need to walk. The scripture says that the Spirit will even tell me when to turn left or right. So He is the way. He brings direction. He is the truth about the purpose of this life. Why I am here, what I'm meant to do. He is the truth about it. He is the truth of the Father. He is the truth of salvation. He is the truth of so much in my life. And I just need to explore Him and get deeper into Him. And He's the very source of life. The very source of life. And I cannot get to the Father without that life. I need Him to become that rivers of living water that's bubbling up in me. This life, or true life rather, is not possible without the source of life, which is Jesus. It's like that blood that flows through you and me. It brings life. It allows us to live. Now, one of the things that I personally appreciate about blood is that when you cut yourself or anything, it's how it covers and healing starts going. And then when it's done, well, at least for some of us, there's no scar. For some of us, there is. But it's incredible how it doesn't just brings life, it restores and it heals. And this life that Jesus brings, it will restore, it will heal. It will do so much in your life. So can I conclude this three-part series with this and just say, if you are lost, He is the way. If you are confused, He is the truth. If you feel that life is overwhelming, then receive Him as the life. You need to come to Jesus today and every day of your life. He is really all that we need. So today we sit here for this season and the season to come, and we've got one of two choices. A life without Jesus, without a way, without the truth, without true life, or a life with Jesus, who will show us the way, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life, and will guide us in everything and teach us and show us how we need to live. But I think the key is here, how much I'm willing to pursue Him. You know, Scripture is so clear that if I want to walk after Him, I need to lay down my life. I need to give the very thing that I have, this only thing that I have, this life that I have, I need to give it to Him. It's like giving my blood to Him. Now, if you've ever donated blood, this sort of put a whole new spin for me on the fact that when I go and donate blood, I'm giving life to someone else. You know, and I always pray over my blood that whoever gets it will get more than they bargained for. And now I'm even more adamant that can the life that is flowing through me, can that which Jesus has accomplished in my life just flow out and touch people's lives, even in greater measure. Not just when I donate blood, but may it be every day. So my prayer for you and me, for each one of you today, is that Jesus, that the life that He is, will just bubble up so much more. That even if you've served Him for a long time, that there will be new life that just comes. May you experience, may He reveal Himself to you in different ways, in new ways. May they be, you know, we cannot understand or outthink or know God fully in this lifetime. So there's so much to still get to know Him by. But may the life that Jesus is just bubble up over in your life. And then may it spill over. May it touch many lives. When you go on holiday, for those that are working, we are so sorry that you have to work. May the Lord bless you and may He use you mightily as you work. We'll see you next year. So as I conclude this, I think for me, this when I started about this sermon series, I think my heart was just to go, but Jesus. Who is Jesus? Have I become okay just to speak about God? Or do I still recognize Jesus? The name to which every name will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. The one who is the author of life, who made everything. If you go read Genesis and the Spirit of God hovers, then everything that followed happened through Jesus. And I want to know Him more. And my prayer is that you will know Him more. That you will not stagnate in your walk before God. That you will not draw back and just sit with your feet in the life that He is. But that you will jump in. Let